As an employee-owned financial firm, Baird offers advice solely focused on clients' needs, while consistently investing in their expertise and capabilities to serve those in need. More information at baird-difference.com.
It's superintendent time, Super Tuesday, if you will. We talk to the MCCSC man in charge, and that's our great friend, Dr. Jeff Hoswell. How you doing, my friend? Nice and warm for you?
Hey,
everything good?
I'm good. Summer's good. How are you doing?
It goes too quickly. I've got too many things going on. We're running around chasing kids. We're doing this, that, and the other thing, and we're going to wake up one day. It's going to be August 6th, and all hell's going to break loose.
That's right.
But we know it's coming. That's what's exciting. But it's not like I talked to Dr. Jerry Sanders yesterday, your counterpart at RBB, and he said, you know, we're not putting our feet up just sitting around doing nothing. We've got things to do. We've got to get ready for next year. And you guys are in the same boat as well. How is filling all of your spots going in the teacher world or the administrative world or custodial bus driver? Give us an overview of how your summer has been, because we know a lot of it are filling these gaps to get ready for the school year.
That's exactly right. We do a lot of personnel in the summer. So I actually was at a Bloomington Economic Development Council focus group conversation this morning, and I sat next to Jerry, and the first thing he asked me was, how are we doing on staffing? So we currently are anticipating about 85 to 100 new teachers at MCCSE this year. We're having a pretty good fill rate. We are getting good applicants, and you know, we've had vacancies, and we know there's a shortage of teachers across Indiana, but I do believe that Bloomington MCCSE is a place people want to be. We, of course, are lucky to have the university effect with lots of recent graduates, so we are anticipating 100% or near 100% fill rate for our teachers. We currently have probably about 10 to 15 vacancies we're still working on in terms of teaching positions. We do have more vacancies in our support staff positions. We're continuing to recruit bus drivers, our paraprofessional positions, our food service workers. So, of course, we have all, if anyone is looking for a job, we have jobs on mccsc.edu under careers. So we have all those positions posted. Administratively, we just hired 5 elementary school principals at our last meeting. The Board of School Trustees, and now we have 3 assistant principal positions currently open that we are interviewing for. That's a bachelor middle school, that's University Elementary School, and Grandview Elementary School. And then we're finalizing our interviews for our new director of transportation. That position became vacant last month. So those are the 4 administrative openings we have. So we don't have a lot of administrative openings right now, but we are, really, really rapidly accelerating our interviews to try to get ready for August 3rd. That's a red letter date around here.
I said August 6th.
First day of school.
I was giving us 3 extra days there. I
thought maybe you were starting school on Saturday.
Who do I need to call to change that? Can I get 3 extra days? Can I move?
you're telling me you want to start school on a Saturday, right? Is that what you're saying, Mike?
That'll get their attention. There won't be any horsing around that morning, will there? Oh, no.
No, the school's on Saturday, never. They would love that idea.
That should be a great April Fool's joke. Yeah. We should try that.
It sounds like you got a little bit of time this summer if you're out having dinner at Yogi's and running into college roommates. So
Monday night's a big night, right? I mean, that's when everybody's
out. It is a big night. Your college roommate, what town was he from? Do you remember?
He is from he went to Carroll High School in Fort Wayne, so just in the suburb in that direction. So yeah,
Northwest Allen. I'm well aware of it.
All right.
Corporation. So yeah. Back in the I came to IU as well, and my roommate was from Logansport, so we catch up periodically, and so it's always kind of fun when you run into. I talked to him not too long ago, and he called me and he said, "Hey, I know you're back in Bloomington. I can't tell you how jealous I am. I love Bloomington in the summers." And I said, "It's a great place to be in the summer."
That's exactly what he said. He said, he goes, "Part of me wish I would have never moved out like you did." And I said, "Well, that's all right. You can always come visit." Now his kid's going to school here, so that's he'll have more time down here, get down to some football and basketball games and do all that. That's fun. We had 10 guys living in the house at that time, and he was one of them, and we had a pretty good time.
That's cool.
That was fun.
It was a chance encounter, though, right?
Totally. So, and it was completely
random. you always have a friend from college that keeps track of all of their friends, and that's what my friend, his name's Mike Pekovich. Mike keeps track of everybody else. So when I see Mike fills me in on everybody else. But he's a great guy.
And, yeah, we didn't have Facebook or cell phones back then, so you had to write down somebody's parents' number or whatever. And once you lost that, you just couldn't hop on the internet and start yapping at somebody. So.
Yeah, you know, it was weird. My parents were cleaning some stuff out, and they had a stack of papers they gave me, and on the top of it was a roommate list, like where they had typed up for the summer,
right.
And it had all the names of my roommates where I lived, and it had their like parents' name and their address and their landline numbers. So it definitely these are definitely different times.
It is, and we should all stay connected because we don't have an excuse not to be connected. Like we did in the old days. So
in
that's
the last century.
Fun. Yeah, it was totally last century.
That's right.
And you'll have to speak up. I can't hear you. It's we're getting old here. All right. So a new director of transportation. We know we're going to have a new schedule next year with what time school starts because we just don't have enough drivers to fill the traditional schedule. So we fixed it to this. What's the most important quality you're looking for in the new director of transportation? Is it somebody that's handled a little crisis in the past? Is it somebody who's forward thinking? You don't have to reveal the open Pandora's box and tell me all the secrets here, but we've had a little hitch in our giddy up with transportation here recently. How do we fix it?
Well, so first of all, we're looking for someone with a variety of experiences. So we want them to be able to build relationships with our drivers, to be a good communicator. We want them to be up to date on technology. We're rolling out a whole lot of new technological tools to increase safety and capacity and communication with families. We want somebody to understand the transportation systems, how our buses, how we keep them maintained safely, and somebody that's organized. So, you know, we've got all these characteristics we're looking for to make sure that as we build a new system, for next year, that we have the right leader in place to navigate the tools necessary, so that we maximize all the tools we have, improve our communication and the relationships with our drivers, and we get out there and recruit more drivers. So it's a tall task. It won't be easy, but I'm confident that we will have qualified applicants and that we'll be introducing a new director of transportation in the next few weeks.
Coming in with the changes that are on the table, everybody kind of starts at square one. Is that more advantageous than coming in halfway through a new system starting? Do you feel that everybody's on the ground floor together and we're all going to learn together?
Yeah, I think so. I think that we're not trying to – I mean, we're completely rebuilding something rather than just trying to patch it and repair it. We did that for a long time until the pandemic hit and our ridership demands changed and – new workforce realities changed, and so I think we had to rebuild it. You know, we've talked about our new times next year, which have been designed to prevent what we had last year, which was a lot of our students being brought to school late because we basically had a four-tier system, but some of the tiers were operating after school started. So we've had to redesign that, and we've talked about, you know, our high school start a little earlier. They start 15 minutes earlier at 7:45. Some of our elementary still start at 9, others start at 9:30, and we're creating a system, we're spreading it out so that we will have fewer buses that matches up with a realistic number of drivers we'll have. And it's happening everywhere. I just had a superintendent from Tippecanoe School Corporation called and said, hey, Dr. Oswald, he said, I work two-tier system. We currently do 8 and 9. We're actually going to implement your exact same thing. We don't have enough drivers. So it's been interesting to see the number of school districts that are expanding changing their start times and adding tiers because of the reality of us not having enough drivers. So, there's other good things to that. We're able to, as we discussed in a previous meeting, we're able to give our bus drivers a raise because we have less buses on the road. With the savings, we're able to give our bus drivers more money. We hope more money will get us more drivers, of course, so it makes us more competitive. So I think there'll be a lot of good outcomes. And also, we have this new technology in place that will help our drivers know their routes, respond to road closures more in just in time, but then also devices that can send updates to family members to let them know when their student's supposed to arrive, whether they're a little bit early or a little bit late, and provide a lot of that communication information that our families have been demanding.
Dr. Jeff Hoswald is our guest, the MCCSC superintendent, checking in here on a Tuesday. Must meet, and we have a board meeting coming up tonight, so we'll get to that agenda shortly. But when will you reevaluate the three-tier system? Is that something you're going to check quarterly? Is that something you check at the Christmas break and adjust if you need to adjust? Or is this is how it's going to be for a year? We're gonna do it, and we're going to figure it out that way.
I don't anticipate us having to change our start times this year. We'll continue to evaluate throughout, but we've designed this based on the current number of drivers we have. So I would not anticipate start times changing this school year. If we find that there's a lot of efficiency and we can, you know, maybe move our last elementary start time up a little earlier, that's something that we would revisit for the 2023-24 school year. And, you know, it'll be here before you know it.
And the best case scenario is what? Having 50 bus drivers show up and say, this is great pay, great whatever, great everything else. And is there any chance of going back to the way it was, in your opinion? Is it just a numbers game?
Yeah. I don't anticipate going back to two tiers. Now, it doesn't mean that the tier times won't change. If we get more efficient and we get more drivers, I think that we would still stay four tier, but we can pull those times in. I mean, even if your times were, you know, your start time was pushed back to eight, if you kept the number of tiers in there, you're still going to need less drivers. So the times might be squeezed in future school years, but by maintaining more tiers, we still can use less drivers, which saves taxpayer money and allows us to push some of the savings onto driver salaries and continue to increase the salaries. So, you know, knowing that if we, every time we add more buses out to the on the streets, that it costs more money, adds to congestion. If we can become more efficient and keep the number of buses we have and pay our bus drivers more, that's probably a more ideal situation than just going back to the larger number of buses we were operating 2-3 years ago.
Yeah, it's just it's a math problem to a degree.
That's right.
And I know the lack of people caused that problem, but it's still. Yeah. The time space continuum, we can't bend a lot of that in our favor.
No, and our old system was based on 120 buses.
Yeah,
and we have 80 drivers. I can't fathom that with increased hourly wages that we're going to suddenly have 40 drivers show up the first week of school. So we have to be prepared for, we have to adjust our route designs based upon a realistic number of drivers.
Very cool. Gotcha. Okay, here we are. We are the final Tuesday of June, getting ready. We've got all of July, then wham, as you mentioned, August 3rd, we're ready to go. What else do you need to check off your list before we get to opening day, so to speak?
Well, we definitely need our students to register, to let us know they're coming back, their families to let us know they're coming back. If they've requested a transfer, of course, all of that information, all of our enrollment information is on our website. So we particularly need to make sure that we are hearing from families that may be new into town that haven't registered, that may be thinking, well, school starts August 3rd. I haven't told anybody. I've moved to Bloomington. We need to know that. We need to prepare. We need to make sure we have the right staffing numbers. We need to share with them what our expectations are when school starts. The worst thing they can do is wait till August 3rd and call us. If you're new to town, it doesn't matter if you've transferred from Logansport or from Carroll High School. If you've transferred from any other school, even out of state, please don't wait till the first day to tell us. If you have a child that's going to be 5 years old that we may not know about, we don't know about, unless maybe they were in one of our preschool programs, it's really important you go online and start that application process so that we can make sure that we have provided the right amount of staff based upon the number of students that are going to be enrolling at a given school. So, you know, really, we're preparing on the staffing end, but for us to adequately prepare for staffing, we've got to know which students are going to be attending which school. So we are really communicating that message. I know this week we are at the Monroe County Fair. We have a booth. We encourage families to stop by. It started last night. I know I'm going to be out there Wednesday night. It's a lot of fun to talk to students, and, you know, we've got a little prize wheel and giving things away. But also, we're giving out information about our enrollment procedures. We've got little magnets for our calendars.
Well, I bet you got some referendum information out there, I would think.
Well, of course we do. We'll talk about that in a little bit. But nonetheless, we are really just out in the community, hearing from our families, hearing from our students, and answering questions. That's what we're here to do. That's what we do all summer, and that's what we do all school year. We also are going to be in the 4th of July parade. You know,
I'm very getting excited about that.
I've got my T-shirt ready. I've got my my parade shoes ready, and I'm gonna be out there. Are you marching in our parade unit this year?
I don't know. I have not been invited. I will be.
You're invited.
I will be in the peanut gallery on the parade route at some point. That's one of our family's favorite things to do. We'd love to go out. New route this year. We'll start at 10th Street, come down College, turn east, and go around the south side of the square, then back north to 10th Street. So pass that on to people. I don't want everybody getting their chair set up there at 7th and Dunn in the shade and wondering where the hell the parade's at. No. You gotta. We haven't had one in 2 years, so
change is hard.
Well, it is, and again, the sun is in the spot. You can figure out the shady side of the street. We can do that
at 10 a.m. At 10 a.m.
We're tough. We can do this together.
I would be on the east side of the street if I were picking my location.
That would it, or unless you like the sunshine. It's just an hour long.
Yeah,
it's fun and. That is fun. Now, I don't have kindergarten age or preschool age children. You were talking about registration enrollment, and you talk about preschool as well. That's been going on for a while, but same thing. Yep. If you're deciding to go that route, you want everybody kind of in by August 1st at the latest, right?
Absolutely. We need to know. And our preschool spots are limited. We generally have waiting lists. The sooner you communicate with us, the sooner we can see if we have capacity. If not, we can get you on a waiting list for our early childhood programs. Then of course for kindergarten, if you're going to be 5 years old by August 1st, you just need to let us know. And, definitely so we can begin preparing. So it's on our website. Enrollment is ongoing, but the sooner the better, right?
Absolutely. Again, it's like having a party. You want to know who's coming so you can make sure you've got enough room, chairs, service, desks, whatever it's going to be, fun stuff. What are we doing for lunch next year? I know the lunch stuff, did that end for summertime? I get confused. Federal government's doing this and that. What are we doing here locally so I don't confuse people?
Well, we for next year, we're going to see a return to a lot more of our normal practices in our lunchrooms. That means more variety. We have less prepackaged things, so we're excited about that. We do have something on our agenda tonight. The federal government kind of sets our prices, so I'm not going to do a Price is Right contest for you, but our student breakfast prices are $1.80 next year. In 2019, they were $1.70, so they've gone up a dime. Of course, our food costs have really been going up in the last 6 months or so. Then our lunch prices do vary a little bit. Elementary lunches are $3.10. Middle school lunches are $3.15. High school lunch is $3.25. Those increases have been slight as well. There's a quarter increase from the 2019 price. So, we also have information about free and reduced lunches on our website. If people qualify, it's important that they begin completing those applications. During COVID, we had free lunch programs, and those are no longer in place. So if people qualify for a free and reduced lunch, they're going to need to apply. We are seeing significant increases in some of our food costs. So we're happy to be able to keep those costs what I would consider reasonable, $1.80, $3.25 for our breakfast and lunch prices next year.
Gotcha. Just a couple minutes left, and we'll let you get ready for your meeting
tonight.
Well, we always.
You put me on a time all the time. What is that about? Is it true that you give everybody else more time than me?
No, you get the most.
I don't believe that.
You can go back and look at WGCLradio.com. No, it's important because we only talk once a month, and we have to fit in all 30 days
all right.
of stuff
well, I appreciate that.
That's happening. So meeting tonight, you can watch it online. You can show up in person. Big agenda item we need to pay attention to this evening.
The biggest agenda item is the referendum tax levy resolution. So tonight is when the board is anticipated and expected to take action on formally approving the referendum to go on the November 8th, 2022 ballot, and we will be asking for a a levy not to exceed 18.5 cents on $100 assessed valuation. We've kind of talked about the benefit of that. We will be using that money to for, quote, the purposes of funding the retention and attraction of teachers, the support staff, increased compensation, and then enhancing our program STEM, arts, and special education. And the reality is we're looking at increasing our minimum hourly wages to over $15 an hour and increasing our teacher salaries by $4,500. We know we have to do this to stay competitive, to fill these vacant positions. And the referendum is really a majority of those funds are going towards staff compensation. And it's the right thing to do. And tonight the board will officially take action to place that on the November 8th, 2022 ballot.
Three cheers for the red, white, and blue. Have a wonderful 4th of July weekend. Hope you get a little time to recharge your batteries, enjoy some friends and family, a little fireworks as well. And, well, after the 4th of July hits, buddy, we're under 30 days, and that's...
That's right. Oh. Well, the next time we talk, we'll be about a week and a half out of school. So.
We'll be dress rehearsal. Places, right. Places, everybody.
That's right.
Oh, my goodness. Do me a favor. Eat too much, have too much fun, and we'll do it all back on the 28th. How about that?
No problem, and thanks for all you do for our community. Happy 4th of July to you and your listeners.
And wave at me when you're in the parade. Now, I don't want to be snubbed. I'll have a big sign or something.
I think we're handing out some like Laffy Taffy. Maybe I'll throw
there
some.
There we go. I have great hands. Great hands. Best
yeah,
hands.
I think we have some restrictions on... I think we have to hand stuff out. I don't know. But anyway, hey, happy 4th of July, and I'll look for you on the parade unit. And if you do sit on the west side of the street, don't forget that sunscreen that you're advising your do as you say.
Absolutely.
And as you do. You know how that goes.
Golden brown, buddy. Golden brown.
That's right.
All right. See you, pal. Thanks for your time.
Thanks, Mike.